Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for tuning in to another edition of Oddcast, the podcast, or A World Empowered Dialogues. Here at A World Empowered, we have a philanthropic vision. We have a vision of the world where all women, men, and children are empowered. Empowered to speak their truth, empowered to be themselves, empowered to provide for their needs, and protect and heal the environment. Every week, we bring in inspiring guests and thought leaders, founders of nonprofits around the globe, to share a message of hope and to inoculate people with the belief that they can make a difference, to share their stories of struggle and trauma and where they've come from and what they've decided to create and contribute to the world. We're adults here having adult conversations, so often there's adult language involved, but we want to thank you for being a part of this and for sharing the message and for tuning in. So get ready for another inspiring conversation with another thought leader and get ready to get awed. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. BC here coming to you with another episode of Oddcast, the podcast. Today, I get to sit here with my good friend, Stephanie Flanders Martin. I'm super excited to share with the world all the things that we're working on together. Thank you for being here with me today.
Yeah, happy to.
I hope all of you are having a wonderful day. I want to start off by explaining a little bit about what I do. In addition to this podcast, many of you probably don't know, but I started the nonprofit A World Empowered 5 years ago. In January of 2018, I started A World Empowered, and our mission is to help people who like helping people to help more people. Through the sales of my book, speaking engagements, and fundraisers, we raise money and donate those funds back to other nonprofits. To that point, I want to share with you the book that I wrote. It's called The Dream Achiever. And 80% of the proceeds from this book go to fund A World Empowered. The reason that I'm sharing this today specifically is that we have just created a affiliate fundraising program utilizing this book and a World Empowered nonprofit to raise money for other nonprofits. And Stephanie is our charter member for this program. So I'm going to share with you The Dream Achiever. I'm going to recite the poem and show you a little bit about what this is. And a reminder, like 80% of the proceeds from this book go to fund A World Empowered or any other nonprofit that we deem fit to work with. So I wrote this poem in 2012. Woke up from a dream at 4 a.m. with the first half a dozen lines circling my head like a Super Bowl blimp. I'm like, oh, this is something neat. I got to do something with this. So I ran to the computer, started typing, had a poem written in about 6, maybe 7 hours. And it took me 7 years to turn this into a book. I hired and fired 3 different illustrators before I landed on Polina Ertzkova. She's the artist that lives in Kharkiv, Ukraine, that did the phenomenal illustrations for this poem. So I'm just going to recite it for you now. This is a poem that can change the world. It could save the lives for little boys and girls, women, men, people of all ages. The answers you seek can be on these pages. I know the truth and the magic within, and I'll tell you now if you're ready to begin. Questions, answers, solutions aplenty. This wisdom will make quite a difference for many. I studied and asked and hoped and prayed, spent countless hours awake where I laid in hopes that these words would come to my mind, and they arrived here this morning and just in time. I can share with you now step-by-step instructions that will lead to ceremonies and lots of inductions, a world full of hope in all of your dreams, pockets full of 20s busting at the seams, friendships and a laughter and a love so true, all of these things can be waiting for you. If you can only apply what I'm teaching today, stick to the plan and never stray, decide you'll try to use what you learn, you'll amaze yourself at what you can earn. We've heard this formula so many times from books and old folks and nursery rhymes, but somehow the message gets lost through the ages like mythical fables only told by sages. It seems so simple now I see it in writing. I don't understand what we've been fighting. This magical formula, or so it appears, is belief in yourself and releasing your fears. Belief in ourselves and belief in our dreams used to be so easy, or so it seems. As children, we dreamed of pie in the sky, of careers and travel and things that could fly. But somehow now, as age creeps in, belief in our dreams is wearing thin. The question I have to ask is why? Why do we allow these dreams to die? Is it time or money or obligations? Is it the hunger and strife of faraway nations? What happened to convince us to give up so quick? Are we tired and lonely or just plain sick? It really doesn't matter the reasons why. The only thing that matters is, again, we try. We are all once children with dreams we could see. So think again of what might be. If everything you wanted started coming true and you awoke tomorrow to a life brand new, cars, jobs, love and health, a beautiful world and abundant wealth, your life can be perfect in every way. It can happen for you if you begin today. You can start today to make things right. Grab your loved ones and hold them tight. Stop what you're doing and dry all your tears. Walk a new path and release your fears. The power you need to make your dreams come true is the power already inside of you. You are the answer you've been looking for. You can do anything and so much more. If you follow this four-step process, you'll see just how amazing your life can be. Step one, conceive. Step two, believe. Step three, start acting. Step four, achieve. It's simple, I know. That's all, that's it. But your dreams will come true if you just don't quit. And the next step, the next part of this book is actually a workbook exercise. We actually take you through step one, conceive. Write down all the dreams that you want, all the visions and ideas that you have in your mind that you want to create in your life. Step two, I think, is the most important part, which is believe. Why do we believe that we can actually get what we want? That's the most important step, because if we don't think we can get to our destination, we'll never make the first stride. Step three, start acting. What are the actions? What are the things you're actually going to do today to start moving yourself in the direction of your dreams? I have a little dream contract in here that you write to yourself. And step four, achieve. I didn't want to create imagery or illustrations of what achieve might mean for you. So if you've ever done a vision board exercise, you can actually write in, you know, draw pictures or take magazine clippings of what it is that you actually want to achieve. And again, 80% of the proceeds from every sale go to fund either a nonprofit or Sangha. So without any further ado, I'd like to introduce my good friend, Stephanie Flanders Martin. Thank you so much for being a patient. Man. Thank you for working with me on so many different levels. Stephanie, before moving into the health and wellness field, had a proven track record of over 32 years in management and leadership skills. She is the founder and co-founder of Tree of Life Yoga Studio, where she and her business partner host classes, in-person workshops, and retreats both in the U.S. and internationally. Stephanie holds a Bachelor's of Science in Nutrition from North Dakota State University, an MBA in an HR emphasis from City University. In addition to all of her degrees, she holds several certifications, health coaching certificate, a Master Workplace Wellness Ambassador, strength management, and from world-renowned expert Brian Luke Seward, right? Mindfulness and meditation teacher training, a 500-hour yoga meditation therapeutic specialist, and Stephanie's focus is on overall wellness for her clients, identifying what's going on, what's keeping them stuck, and creating positive solutions to change, moving their wellness journey forward. In addition to the Tree of Life Yoga, her husband, Marcus, and her friend, Whitney, co-founded Sangha Collaborative Foundation. It's a nonprofit helping to support underserved communities throughout the world by supporting entrepreneurial projects. And one of the reasons why I'm so excited to be working with her and have her as our first affiliate. Stephanie, thank you for being here today. Why don't you start by sharing a little bit about Sangha and why you created it?
Yeah, thank you, Brian. And thank you for the opportunity to support our work. I'm really grateful. So Sangha, I'll first explain what Sangha means, because I think that's helpful for people to understand what is this unique word. Sangha, translated from Sanskrit, is community. So when we were coming up with our title, we really wanted this to be about community of individuals, communities that we can create. And once you become a member, and once you come into Sangha, you're a member for life.
Family.
So your family, right? So Sangha Community Collaborative was born out of this idea of many of our yoga retreats that we take internationally, we always give back in some way, shape, or form. And we thought, what a better way to do this than develop a nonprofit where we give back as part of that community effort when we're in a country. So that's how we started our foundation.
How did this dream come to you? I mean, what was your motivation?
Well, I think the first thing was we're very driven by how we can support and love on other people. So yoga is all about kindness and inclusivity and how can we support those in our community and create a community. So our yoga studio is just a small boutique yoga community.
Okay.
And so how can we then take that and expand that, but create little pockets of communities? When we had planned our last trip to Guatemala, we wanted to do something to give back to that community. And we're blessed to be able to find the Casa Flor Ixcaco, which is a weaving community. And that's supported, we found that through our friend Brent Brunswick at Top of the Lake Coffee. And so we went down there and supported women that were weaving, and they have a weaving business. And unfortunately, COVID has been really hard on them. So we were able to just go bring a community of people there, support them, learn about their business, and financially help support them as well.
How did the dream to start the nonprofit, to make a difference, to do this in the first place, come to your heart?
Oh, okay.
Where did that originate?
Well, I come from parents that's really what they do. They've always been that model for me. So I come from a small town in Minnesota, and what they always modeled for us is if somebody's in need or somebody needs help, they would go. Okay. It wasn't a question, an option. It was just what we did. And so I think modeling that for me as I grew up, as I got older, what can I do to continue that, that kind of spirit of what my parents had founded.
Yeah. One of my favorite quotes was from Muhammad Ali. He said, being kind and doing good should be the rent that we pay for our time here on earth. Mm-hmm. And it seems like that was instilled in you at a very early age. And you just kind of sought out this opportunity to go and make a difference. I know that you just got back from India. Mm-hmm. Tell people what you did down there. And then I would love for you to share what you're about to do in Kenya.
Yeah. So I'll share why I got connected to the India project, because I think one of my favorite quotes I love what you shared. One of my favorite quotes is the quote by Gandhi, and it's be the change in the world you wish to see.
Right.
So if you hear about something, you have a couple of choices, right? You could ignore it, you can help support it, or you can try to be that change. So how I got connected to the India Project is through Yoga Medicine Seva Foundation. I was at a yoga medicine training, and one of the presenters there shared with us part of what the foundation does, which is to work with Her Future Coalition in India to help rescue children from human trafficking, but then also to educate survivors from trafficking. And my heart just became so connected to seeing these faces and wanting to make a difference. So we began this connection with them by fundraising, and every $5,000 we raised, we got the opportunity to go.
Nice.
With this group. So we raised $10,000, and how we were able to do that was to really connect what we were accomplishing with that. Every $400 rescues a child from trafficking.
How?
So that, well, they pay communities to go in and do this. They pay people to go in and do this. So what we did was we said, okay, well, what's our goal? 25 children. That's $10,000. We're not stopping until we rescue 25 children by raising these funds. I think sometimes by having more of a tangible target, it's easier for people to connect to what you're trying to do.
Yep, to have that goal and say, I'm getting closer than some abstract.
Right. Instead of I'm raising $10,000, I'm going to rescue 25 children.
Right.
So that became my mantra. So our recent trip to India was with the group, Her Future Coalition and Yoga Medicine Seva Foundation. And in that, we got to spend time really understanding what their work was in Calcutta. We got to go to some of the centers and to meet some of the children and the people that were really supporting that project. And then to go to the new learning center that Her Future Coalition has launched, which is where women that are survivors are now the first silversmiths and goldsmiths in India.
Wow.
So what we decided to do as Sangha was partner with Sarah and her community and say, well, how can we help make a difference in this? And after a lot of conversation, developing business classes for those women was the best option. So we sat with Sarah and kind of drafted a list. And when we went over there, we said, okay, we'll spend the first week learning, growing and understanding the whole community and what this is about. And the second week, we spent a whole week educating with basic business skills, these women that have been have become survivors of this.
What sort of business skills did you share?
We worked a lot on customer service.
Okay.
How just basic customer service. We worked on social media, how to take pictures, how to make your jewelry more attractive, how to really who's your target audience. That was one of the big things we spent a lot of time on, because if you're creating this jewelry, all of them design jewelry, but who are you designing for? So we spent a lot of time developing that picture of that woman
who's
or man and who's your
right.
demographic. And then from there, okay, now how are we going to develop the other things behind that? So what does that look like verbiage wise? What does that look like social media wise? So that's what we spent a lot of time.
Did they enjoy it?
They did. Yeah.
When was that again?
We were just there in January and February.
Have you seen any improvement in result since you've been there?
Well, because
what are some of the stories that you're getting back from
yes,
that trip?
So the story, I think the biggest thing we walked away with, number one, was the first thing was it was really hard to leave. And I think that's always a testament to the connection you make with those people. Mm-hmm. It's these women were just, I mean, my heart is there. They're just beautiful souls. I think the biggest thing I saw is the growth through the week and kind of the light bulbs starting to pop on. The challenge that we encountered is they don't speak English.
Right.
So it was this translation, you know, it was kind of say a few words, then translate, say a few words. And as the week went on, it was nice for us to be able to understand a little bit more about what they were saying just from learning and helping each other. And I think the biggest thing also that I've seen is the growth in their picture taking and their perspective just based on some of the tools that we were sharing with them. One of the things we did was partner with a couple of entrepreneurs here locally who did videos. Aaron Wainick, who I know you
right.
did,
yep.
did a fantastic video for us. We brought that over there and shared that. So they learned how to take pictures and
lighting. Backdrop
yep.
and perspective and,
yep.
and all that.
And then Jade Shablowski is the other person we partnered with. She's a social media expert.
Nice.
And so we were able to provide them those tools. And now just watching that unfold has been fun.
That's beautiful. Well, share with the world what you're about to do, because your trip upcoming to Kenya is really exciting. And yeah. part of the reason why we're so excited about what we're creating with this affiliate program. So share with everybody about Kenya and this thing.
Yeah. So we were introduced to this Kenyan project through Phoenix, who is our travel agent. And she knew about this project, just put us in touch, and we started connecting with Irene Kins, is the founder of the Oasis community over there. And she has the Rainy Sewing School.
Okay.
And when we started having this
R-A-I-N-Y?
Mm-hmm. Yes. So how we started this conversation was, well, we're coming over, what would be helpful if we bought sewing machines? What would be, you know, would that be helpful? And as the conversation unfolded, what we learned was her whole goal is to help women get out of poverty. Mm. Over there, it doesn't feel as if there's as much value placed on what they do. So we became really heart-centered around this and what we could do. And we developed this program with Irene's help. We are going to now fundraise. For every $750 we raise, we can sponsor one woman in her own business.
Like cookie cutter, open box,
right.
full business from right. scratch to go.
Right. So she will get a sewing machine.
Okay.
She will get 6 months of sewing classes at the Rainy Sewing School with Irene. And then we're purchasing a $100, just kind of like this, like a starter sewing kit with all the basics that they would need,
like
to have
a couple bolts of fabric and all the needles and thread and
patterns, scissors and, like and the cutting mats and all that kind of stuff. So, so we tried to figure out how we could monetize this in separate buckets as well. It's about $350 to purchase a sewing machine.
Okay. Now,
what was interesting as we learned this with Irene, we had him go take a bunch of pictures, like what kind of machines could we purchase, those kind of stuff. She said, on average, most women don't have electricity.
Right.
So we had to go to the machines, the old pedal ones. Yeah.
Manual.
Which is why having those resources is so important, because she said, oh, no, like this is the better option. So it's about $350 to get a sewing machine. It's $300 for 6 months of classes. And then we averaged about $100 for kind of this basic kit. So $750 is the target to launch each new entrepreneur.
And in the class, will they also teach business skills like you did in India?
No.
Or is it simply the textile
side? It is just the textile part of it. So here's the kind of what we've now, you know, kind of we're progressively thinking about is we go over this year, we give 6 months of classes, give them 6 months of practice. We go back next year, we do that same entrepreneur class. And we hopefully bring enough to launch more women.
Right.
And so we've now set up this perpetual cycle of how we can support them.
Yeah. Good luck, but how can we support your continued success?
Right.
Are there distribution outlets or a thought process around how they get their textiles out there or sell retail their wares?
Yes. So we have, we put together an application. They need to fill out an application and apply for this. Irene's going to help us with the women that are in most need. One of the things we had kind of thought the flip side of this, maybe we should support the women that are maybe like a little more on the other side. She said, no. She said her success rate is much more with the women in higher need. So our thought is we will take these applications, we'll screen them with those that have helped us to raise some of the money, and we'd like them to be part of those stories as well. And then once we select those women, then we will bring that money over and we will actually award that to them while we're there.
In person.
Part of that screening
ceremonial
is, exactly.
Award.
Part of that application, however, says that they understand we're going to request specific items to be sewn on our behalf, sold to us at a wholesale price. We will sell them retail in the States. All of that money goes right back
into
the funding
program.
Yeah. So it's, we want it to be a self-funding program so that really it's not, you know, nothing really comes out. It's just kind of continuing to fund more women.
What sort of items are you planning on having them create?
Well, being the yoga business, we're looking at things specifically we could use in our community.
Nice.
So we've got some really pretty some eye pillows with different types of lavender, eucalyptus, that kind of stuff that we're working on. We're working on
Sewn into. Nice.
Yes. Yoga bags, things that they could use. We're looking at they make some really beautiful recyclable bags. And now that recycling and bringing bags with you has become a big thing.
They have mandatory in a lot of places.
many places actually. They've made these little bags that they fold up into these like little tiny things, and you can, you know, toss a couple in your purse, and then you get to the grocery store and you have this nice big bag.
And you don't forget them.
Right. Yeah.
Every time I go to the grocery store, I have to go back to my car because, sounds like a really awesome program. So you said for $750, they basically have an entire business in a box given to them with the class and the education to go along with it.
Right.
With the affiliate program on the Dream Achiever, that's basically like 15 books or 50 books,
50 books.
Will create an entire life-changing new business for one of these people in Kenya. That's really exciting. I want to know about the qualification process. Like, how are you choosing? Because you said that they found that the most impoverished or the ones that struggle the most were the most successful. And like, what are some of the qualifications? How do they determine this and who they're going to work with? How are these grants awarded?
I don't have the exact three questions in my mind. I should have brought that with me, but there's basically three questions they answer, and they're short essay. And short by that, I mean, it could be 100 words, right? Okay. I'm not looking for a lengthy thing. The first one was, why is this so important to you? Mm-hmm. Really, if I can establish that it's, you know, they have 3-4 kids and, you know, this is, you know, they're the only support for their family. And this feels like something we can, you know, bring before our committee and let our committee make the selection between 3 or 4 candidates. That's what we want to be able to do. So that, I know that was one of the questions.
That's a good qualifier to self-select and have the buy-in right from the beginning. Like, I need this. This is life-changing for me, and self-qualify that way.
Yeah, and
definitely determines positive outcomes.
I think that will be probably the biggest one. I think the other two were something more, a little more simple. It's like, you know, how will you choose to give back to this community and not to make that an understatement. But the biggest one to me is like, why do you need this? Because I want to understand really what the need is, not, and if somebody comes with the answer that I want to be able to make money. Well, I get that, but why? Right? Like what does that mean to you? How is that going to serve you and your family? That will be a better indicator.
When are you going there?
We leave on June 8th.
Nice. So that's coming up. And I know that you have an event coming up here very, very soon, May 23rd.
Yep.
Tell people about the event that we have coming up and what that's about and how they can get involved with that.
Yeah, the event is on May 23rd. We're hosting that at Olive and Herb. And it's going to be bruschetta, beverages, and benefit. And we're just going to have, Brian's books are going to be there. We're going to have a few gift baskets that we're going to auction off. We're going to actually speak about the program. I have not gotten this firm commitment, but I really want to see if I can get Irene to speak that night, if I can get her on screen. It's kind of flip side time wise, so it might be hard, but I'm gonna do my best.
What's the time change there in Kenya?
I feel like it's 7 or 8 hours, so it'll be like 2 or 3 in the morning.
Okay.
But maybe she would do it for us, so we'll see.
That would be great.
But that would be kind of cool, I think, to connect her. And really the goal of this is to raise as much money as we can to launch as many entrepreneurs as we can when we go over there.
Yeah. So the Bit.ly link to Stephanie's and Sangha's affiliate program will be in the show notes, and you'll have that posted on your Facebook and all your socials. I'll post on my Facebook and socials. Where can they find out more details in RSVP for the event?
Yep. At Sangha Collaborative Foundation. Sangha is spelled Sangha collaborativefoundation.com. And on there, if you just go to the event page, there's a little link and you can sign up right there. It's $30 a ticket. And that 100%, we've been able to 100% support all of food and beverage so that everything that you use to buy a ticket goes right back. And then of course, Brian's been so generous to offer, to help us with that affiliate link. And our goal is to see if we can sell 100 to 150 books to launch 2 to 3 entrepreneurs.
Let's plan for 3 entrepreneurs.
Okay.
Let's do
it. We got 3.
Well, I'd like to pivot now to yoga specifically and the benefits that you see with that. How did you get into yoga? How did that call to you?
So I started yoga when I was 29. It's a long time ago.
Not that long ago.
You're so kind.
You're welcome.
My kids were small. And they started offering, you know, this yoga class in our local gym. And I thought, oh, I don't know what that is, but I'll give it a shot. And I fell in love. So
just immediate.
I went.
Your body and your soul just resonated with it.
It did. Well, the way that my teacher initially taught it was the room was dark and there was just the natural light coming in from the window. And so it was kind of my opportunity to get up early in the morning before the kids were up and just get on my mat and breathe and listen. And I just became so connected with the practice, but also the teacher. And then she left, probably was a couple years later. So I was practicing 2-3 times a week and just loved how my body felt. I loved just my spirit. I felt like my spirit was soaring. Like I just felt so good. And then she left and the new teacher came and I didn't feel as connected. I think that's one thing about yoga that's really important is yoga, if people connect with different teachers. And so I just was on this journey of finding teachers and have practiced with different teachers over the years. And as I became older, what I recognized was yoga was the practice that really helped me feel good in my body all throughout my life. And it was, as I aged, it became more important, because it's not, unless, and it can be, but the way I practice is it's not a heavy jarring practice. It's more of this inhale, exhale, smooth breath to movement type practice.
As I understand it, wasn't yoga originally designed as a spiritual preparation for hours of meditation and kind of a way of life, like a way of being, almost a Taoist sort of practice? It seems like in America, it's been turned into an exercise and an activity and less about the spiritual connection. Have you noticed that when you studied abroad and getting your certifications and things like that?
Yeah, I think so. There's so many different ways to practice yoga.
Right.
And in the States specifically, again, it really depends on what teacher you connect with as to what type of practice you're going to experience. When you take your initial yoga certification, they introduce you to all different parts of yoga. And what they tell you is you will gravitate towards a specific thing within yoga. And it's very true. What I gravitated more with was the physical practice of connecting as a yoga medicine therapeutic specialist. So I've learned different parts of body systems and how the practice of yoga can help those body systems.
So when
I took restorative yoga, for example, I did restorative yoga with Tiffany Cruikshank. And then the other teacher that was there was Amy Sedgwick, who is a ER doctor. And what she taught us was all about the brain and the function within the brain. And then Tiffany would connect, okay, now we know this about the brain, but let's connect how that connects with yoga, how you can use yoga to move in and out of, right, different processes. So for example, we know that the parasympathetic system can be engaged with breath work, can be engaged with slow intentional movement, can be engaged in so many different ways, meditation. So using those type of practices then in each type of class that I've taken has been really helpful.
Can you explain to the audience what the parasympathetic and sympathetic nervous system are? Not everybody is familiar with that concept.
Yeah. So sympathetic nervous system would be kind of that fight or flight, right? Oh my gosh, my kids fell off my bike. I'm going to run to them and take action, right?
I'm triggered somebody's coming at me and I got to
prepare. And so the thing with the sympathetic nervous system is it's put there for a reason, right? If we need it, it's going to get us there. What happens, unfortunately, is if we get that sympathetic system going and we let it do that kind of slow drip all the time, that's when it does damage within the system.
What sort of damage does that create?
Oh my goodness. So, I mean, blood pressure, stomach problems,
cognitive decline,
tons, right? Memory. I mean, there's lists and lists of, if you let that, I call it the stress cocktail, right? Because if you have that constant drip of stress,
cortisol,
epinephrine, norepinephrine, all those things, right? So, that's why understanding how to keep, okay, so this happens, right? And okay, now I need to bring myself back down, right? And so the breath work, take a deep breath and understanding how important that breath work is, getting that parasympathetic system, which is the rest and digest. Mm. So you have fight or flight, sympathetic, rest and digest, parasympathetic.
I don't think that most people realize how much of their day they're actually in that sympathetic nervous system. They're in that fight or flight mode. You know, watching CNN 24 hours a day, being on social media with all the contention there, the stress of daily life and just being able to pay your bills or crazy traffic or the weather. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of us are in that fight or flight mode most of the time, and having the tools to deregulate and decompress and get rid of some of that cortisol so that we can, you know, get back to that tranquility, equanimity, positivity and peaceful state is really powerful. So what is it exactly in your understanding and your learning through yoga about the movements that help us deregulate? What is it specifically about those movements and those exercises that help?
I don't know. I would say, yes, it is the movement, but I would also say it's the mindset within the movement, right? Okay. So how can I how can I turn inward and begin to quiet the mind as I move through this process? If you're doing the movement just to do the movement,
right,
you're going through the motions, right?
Right.
So that really hasn't made, maybe it's made some adjustment, but maybe not what you really want. However, if we slow down the process and we start with our breath work, which is how I usually start all of my classes or any of my practices, just arrive in your seat or your mat or your place and allow yourself to connect with what your intention of your practice is, then start into your movement with the intention of, I'm going to connect with my inner self with this time on the mat. Otherwise, what you're letting yourself do is just spin off into this, what's my to-do list? Now you've just taken yourself from this really beautiful space of parasympathetic, right, to this, oh my gosh, I'm back into my to-do list and my got to get done list. And you're
back on autopilot right. again.
So I think the benefit of yoga is to just take that time to be, right? Whether it's to be present and it's just sitting, that's a practice of yoga. I mean, I think people get too stuck in this, I need to be doing this specific thing. Yoga can be many things. Mm. Also, mindfulness is such a big part of the yoga practice. So just being present, just like us sitting here having this conversation, can be a practice of mindfulness. It's connecting with people. It's being present. It's being aware of what's happening. It's really sitting and sinking into the body and noticing what you notice. I think that's really the part of yoga that's become very important to me. Over the years, what I have learned about myself is my mat is my sacred space.
Right.
It's really my place when I step on my mat. It's a little different when I'm teaching because I'm, giving. But when I give back to myself by being on my mat and just nourishing myself with a practice, whether it's listening to somebody teach me or just doing my own thing, that's the part of yoga that I can really turn into and tune into myself and really understand what's happening.
That place of stillness.
Correct.
It sounds like it's the triad of the intention that you put behind it, the concentration on the breathing, plus the movement that really has the holistic benefit.
Right.
Is that accurate?
Yeah, I would say yes.
Physically, what can yoga do for a person? Like, what sort of changes and positive physical outcomes have you noticed through yoga for your clients specifically?
Well, so I work mostly in the middle-aged women category.
Okay.
That's typically who my client is. That's not always 100%. I mean, anybody can practice with me. That's typically who comes to me. And as middle-aged women, as we age, right, our hips get, they get different because we've had children or whatever. So learning how to move through poses with adjustments in hips. And maybe a pose is a closed hip pose where the hips are straight, but maybe my hips don't go that way anymore. Mm. So just, honoring women's hips by saying, hey, maybe today your hips are just a little to the left
okay.
as you come through this pose and just noticing what you notice. The one thing I think is important that people know that yoga is a practice. It's not about perfection. Mm. Your warrior two and my warrior two may look very different.
Right.
And there's nothing wrong with either of our warrior twos. But with yoga, you can become stronger the more you practice. You can really strengthen the core, which is a big part of what I teach. You can work on shoulder and heart openers. So strengthening the shoulders, as we sit, we tend to, roll and shorten the front part of the body, the pecs. But as we really focus on that intentionality of opening the heart center and drawing the shoulder blades towards each other, that can strengthen that. Instead of as we age, we tend to continue to
slouch,
let this
creep, slump
creep forward.
And
right. So I think the intentionality of some of that can be helpful. I also think it does strengthen as you continue to practice it. Whether, I'm walking through my day and I notice and I'm kind of like, oh, okay, right. Just stopping to take a deep breath and maybe rolling my shoulders back a few times. So I think that's what yoga can give to people. It gives back in that in different ways. I also think yoga
has
a
physiological effect too. When we slump and slouch and our shoulders compress like this, not only is it putting pressure on that polyvagal nerve, which triggers the fight or flight, that sympathetic nervous system, but it also compresses our diaphragm, which means that our breath is only coming to about here.
One third.
Yeah. So our breath is barely getting to the top of our lungs, which causes less cognitive ability. It causes more stress and more cortisol. So just not being able to strengthen that spine out and right. pull your shoulders back has a lot of catastrophic impacts on our physiological and emotional well-being. Talk to the audience a little bit about the hip thing, because I play hockey. Found out that I had been playing hockey for about 6 months with a torn meniscus. Mm. I went into the physical therapist, and most of the work that the physical therapist did with me was on my hips and my stretching. Mm-hmm. You know, so yeah. So when my quads, my hips, and the piriformis. Yeah. Mm-hmm. When they're That's all the- tight, it's putting pressure on and contorting all right. the other ligaments and tendons and stuff. So talk a little bit about the physical benefits to focusing on hips as well.
Yeah. I think with hips, anything with hips, low back, core, all of that stuff's connected as we age with balance and with strength. Mm. And as we age, we tend to start losing that. So keeping that strength through the hips, that low belly and the back is really critical as we age. So that's a lot of what I work on, is that body alignment, but that strength within the low back, the hips. And the, you know, obviously the quads, everything's connected, right? We don't work in separate units. Everything's right. all connected. So what can happen is, if you've ever had a sore back, the low back, sometimes it's not necessarily your low back, it's your hips.
Right.
Because they talk to each other, right? They're connected.
Or, yep.
Hamstrings, well, it could be many things, right? So I can never diagnose, but I can always go back and say, hey, let's try these few things and see if that makes a difference or whatever. So I think that's part of the yoga practice, is really learning and understanding, tapping into what feels good in your body and where you can intuitively understand, I think this might be something I need to start working on a little more. Like Warrior Two is a really good quad strengthener. It's mm-hmm. also a hip opener, right? So if you're really intentional about opening that hip in Warrior Two, lengthening the arms, can you soften the shoulders? Because we tend to bring those shoulders right back up to the ears. So there's so many layers to each pose that as you really dissect that and unfold that, that's where you can get the benefits of yoga.
So we've talked a little bit about the physical benefits. I was hoping that you could share how yoga impacts our emotional well-being. Would you like to extrapolate on how our emotions tie to all of this?
That's going to be very individual, but I would share with you my experience.
Anecdotally, whatever.
Right. Yeah. So I think the benefits of the emotional part of yoga is the opportunity to tune in, tap in, really sink and settle into what's happening. Like what is, like, if I'm just sitting here right now, how do I really feel? Do I feel nervous? Do I feel excited? Do I feel anxious? Do I feel quiet? Do I feel soft? And then by understanding that, if I need to make an adjustment, I can make that adjustment because I'm more in tune with myself. So it's not only a practice of that introspection and understanding internally what's happening, it's a mindfulness practice. It's being really aware. And mindfulness, we talk about two tenets that are really important. It's that non-judgmental awareness. So not judging where I'm at, right? If I'm here, I'm here. I've arrived. So how can I make that adjustment?
Okay.
But then staying curious with that. Well, why am I here? What is it about that I'm sitting in this discomfort or whatever? And being okay being uncomfortable, but then understanding how you can resolve that discomfort, whether it needs to go to an outside resource or you can internally tap into what that could, how you could resolve that discomfort. So I think that's one thing yoga has taught me, is just being on my mat and being present. That emotional side can be much, I can tap a little deeper into that emotional side because I'm just more aware of what's happening. Mm. I also think it makes me much more in tune with what's going on around me.
How so?
I can sense more emotions because I know what's happening in me. So if I'm noticing, you know, just even the sheer gesture on somebody, a facial gesture or, you know, body language, to me, because I can feel it myself, I might be able to sense it in somebody else. But also then to just ask a question like, are you doing okay today? You know, just to ask those questions and know that can be helpful as well.
Sounds like one of the great benefits is it just gives you the space to be still, be quiet, and be curious.
Right.
I think most of us, particularly in this day and age, don't take the time to intentionally create quiet.
What happens in this society today is that we're a go, 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 go society. What I appreciate about going to Europe is they are not a go, go, go society. They're much more of this mindful present and awareness. Even if you think about a meal in Italy,
right?
The average meal in Italy takes 2 to 2.5 hours when you're sitting down to have a dinner. They are not about let's get this done with. In the US, we're about let's
fast
get this
food.
Get hurry up, get it done. Yeah. Let's go on to the next thing, right? So I think that's what I really appreciate about other countries and what I've tried to bring back as part of my yoga practice is how can I incorporate some of that presence and connection time. We are in such a hurry up and go, get on to the next thing that we forgot. We forget to be present for ourselves.
Do you work with children?
I do work with some children.
Have you? I know that you were telling me that part of your continuing education and continued certification is to work with kids. What benefits have you seen yoga create specifically for children? And this is a bit leading because Stephanie and I are working towards a very exciting program. I want to get your perspective on what yoga can do specifically for the youth.
Well, I think with kids, it's teaching them that being quiet and still is okay. And then really tapping into that movement. What does that movement mean for them? With intention. How does it feel within their body? So one of the practices I shared with you was the starfish practice.
Yeah, it was really
and
fun.
And the five-pointed star. Yeah. And when you're teaching a kid just this feeling of this expansion in their body and how can they feel this expansion? And then once they expand, how can they gently contract? And the difference that feels within the body with that inhale and that exhale, it's pretty powerful for a kid to just take a minute and understand like, oh, it does feel different. And then working on balance within that. So with kids working on what does that mean to balance? They hop through different things all the time, right? The hopscotch or whatever kind of pose they're jumping in and out of, right? But can they take that slow, intentional time to really feel what that feels like to float and balance into different poses and use the breath? And that's the other thing with kids is connecting the breath to understand how that can feel within them to slow down with that breath to movement.
Everything is tied to the breath. You know, and I've been studying Tai Chi and Qigong. It's literally translated Qigong or Qi is air plus rice equals life. Mm-hmm. And everything is synergistic and built around that breathing. It's super important that we make sure that we're breathing all the way down to our diaphragm, that our lungs are filling to capacity. Otherwise, our brain is deprived and all kinds of things start to get out of whack from that. Will you share with the audience the program that we're co-creating? Mm-hmm. I would love to hear your perspective and your description of what this is and what you believe it can do for the world.
So the program that Brian has asked me to collaborate with him on is super important for kids in that I think what is happening with kids now is they don't know how to stop and think in a... Or they go right to fighting, or they go to a habit or behavior that they kind of go into automatic and they don't even know what they're doing, right? So the program we're working on now is how to just really tune in and tap into their feelings and their emotions using yoga and Tai Chi and Qigong and meditation and just quieting the mind and understanding that it's okay to have those feelings. And now how can I safely express those feelings, or how can I do it through movement, or how can I do that through this moving this quiet energy, whether we express that in that exact verbiage or not? I think it's really important that kids understand how to quiet the mind and know that it's this really safe, sacred space to be in, and that they don't have to just go right to this fight type thing. Also, I think, unfortunately, I know in Northern Colorado that we are the highest suicide rate, unfortunately, in the country. And so if kids are sitting with that feeling, what would one of these practices do for them to be able to tap in, understand, and then know that there's a place they could go for help? So for me, it's about the mental wellness. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of people use the term mental health. I like mental wellness because this is an opportunity to use practices for mental wellness and to use them as a way to really tap in and understand this type of practice can help. If you're in this angry feeling, how can I just take a deep breath and soften? If you feel like you're just going too fast, how can you just slow down with Tai Chi or this gentle movement or whatever that might look like to what they're learning in that space?
We all face challenging emotions almost daily, whether it's the driver in the car in front of us, the angry person in the checkout lane, an interpersonal relationship. We all have these challenging feelings, these challenging interactions, and knowing the tools that are available at our disposal to help us self-regulate, I think is paramount. Rather than going to Netflix or the iPad or turning on a cartoon or self-harm or whatever, you don't have to be paying that close attention to what's going on in the world to realize that there's a crisis. There's a pandemic of violence, suicidal ideation, and addiction in this country that cannot be solved in Congress. It cannot legislate hate. You're not going to fix these issues with legislation. We need to, as a community, start implementing the tools and techniques that we know affect positive outcomes and give these kids a chance to address things before they become catastrophic. And tools like intentional breathing, making sure that when you breathe, it's going all the way to your belly. Intentional stretching, like the starfish pose in your video that you created, and intentional energy can help these kids deregulate and get rid of these challenging emotions that compound over time that end up a person in a mental health facility or on some sort of pharmaceutical or committing some sort of violence to themselves or others. Mm-hmm. And we talk about mental health in this country and it's a platitude. We use it, it's basically a punchline to a joke. We talk about how important these things are and how we want to save our kids' lives and we want to do all this, but we're not actually doing anything about it. We're trying to get rid of words and we're trying to legislate. And it's time that we put our intention, our effort, and our actions where our words are. And teaching our youth beginning in kindergarten the practices of intentional breathing, intentional energy, and intentional stretching, and share with the audience what it is exactly that we're creating, because we're doing this in a very mindful and intentional way so that it's simple and easily adopted. Will you share what it is that we're co-creating?
Yeah, so I know that we're still playing with how we're going to package this, but what I look at it as is this mental wellness toolbox that we're going to be offering. So every morning, an opportunity for a child to come into a classroom and have the first, you know, 10, 15, 20 minutes of these, you know, a little bit of breath work and a little bit of an opportunity to kind of stretch and do this little movement and have this intentional practice every morning will set the tone for the day. We'll set this kind of this intention for the day and even teaching them the word intention, right? Yeah. So I think that's what's being put together is this package of tools and techniques and mental wellness tool kit almost in a sense.
Yeah, where the tool
kids
belt.
We'll enter the classroom and have this practice every morning. We'll plug into this. And then for us to be able to continue to advance them through each year with additional practices to be able to grow into this so that as they age, they have tools to be able to come to instead of to run towards something that might harm them. They can run towards an option that might be better.
Right. And we're creating it in such a way it's going to be a video series that's as simple as the teacher need only push play on a screen and follow along with the youth. So we don't have to go into the classrooms ourselves. the parents and the teachers and the principals aren't like, who is this person? Why are they coming in? What do they want to do? The teachers don't have to feel like they have to learn and create a whole new curriculum and try to instruct this brand new program. So they're not overwhelmed. I mean, the teachers are already trying to cram 5 pounds of feathers into a 4 pound sack anyway. So the teachers aren't overwhelmed. Plus, these tools will help deregulate the kids, calm them down, increase their attention levels, and as well as their cognitive ability and their memory. There are scientific scientific studies done on the benefits of meditation or mindful breathing. And it's as simple as pushing play on a video, which means it can scale. Our goal is to have this program in every public school across the country, and eventually in every grade in every public school across the country, so that we can do something to address this mental health crisis that we do face in this country.
It's basically a plug and play toolkit that'll be offered to each classroom.
And the thing that I love about it, and there are a lot of Montessori schools, there's a lot of charter schools that are implementing yoga, they're putting mindfulness and meditation into their curriculum. No program is the three-pronged triad approach of intentional breathing, intentional energy, and intentional stretching. The whole well-rounded, holistic approach of all three elements that can help a kid. And I think, I truly believe at my core that this daily practice implemented over the course of the next 15, 20 years, as these kids matriculate from grade to grade to grade, can have a positive impact on every single challenge that we face as a society. This not only like the mass violence and the addiction and the suicidal ideation and all these other things within our youth, but imagine kids that have practiced this every single day for 15 years. Imagine a society that's filled with these people walking around, and they come in contact with somebody that doesn't believe what they believe, or they may have voted Republican when they vote Democrat. If they've been practicing these tools and they've built their self-awareness, they've boosted their sense of compassion and connectivity to others, they know how to deregulate and not end up in fight or flight when something triggers them. At the end of a conversation, they can at least say, you know, Stephanie, I really appreciate your vulnerability. I really appreciate you sharing your perspective on this. I don't know if I entirely agree with your methodologies and your strategies to address these things, but I think because you're so open and vulnerable and you're sharing and you're open to hearing other perspectives, we could probably come up with a compromise. We could probably come up with a solution. Mm-hmm. Imagine politics, for crying out loud, if everybody in Congress were filled with people that didn't resort to ego and aggressiveness. how many more things could be accomplished in this? No, I'm really excited about this program. I'm really honored to have you a part of it. We have two other meditative practitioners. We have another yoga instructor. We're working on some intentional energy instructors to help create this video series. We're working with James Merkley from StoryPath, who's going to help us create the videos. We're working with the mental health coordinator at Thompson School District, Weld School District, Pudar One School District, and hopefully Cheyenne School District, so that we can start implementing this in kindergarten. And we want to start in kindergarten specifically because they don't know any different. It's their first day of school. They don't know what should or shouldn't be, or what they did or didn't do yesterday or the year before.
And so, kindergartners are like sponges. Yeah, they just soak it all in. So if we can start at that level and let them just keep absorbing this and really, you know, kind of embedding it into everything they do, what beautiful adults they'll become.
Yeah. And the point is, the more tools that we can offer, you know, the old aphorism is, when you're a hammer, you see the whole world as a nail. And that's kind of how we've been approaching mental health in this country specifically, is everything is pharmaceutical or facility. Like, you're either put into on a 72-hour hold or something after something's become catastrophic and you've ended up in trauma, or you resort to pharmaceuticals. The whole world is a nail because we've been addressing this thing like a hammer. It's time that we offer more tools to these youth, and hopefully parents as well. I mean, these kids will take some of this home, and thank God for COVID, because people are becoming more involved with the curriculum and what's going on with their kids. And, you know, some of this will drip on the parents as well and maybe have a positive impact there too. But I think that this program is really exciting. I really feel like it's a valuable effort and worthy of our time and energy. And I think that it can change the course of society as we know it, if we start implementing these tools that we know work. Is there anything that you would like to add about what it is that you have coming up in addition to our affiliate program with the Dream Achiever? Check out that Bentley Leak. Smash the like button, subscribe, share. But share with everybody how to get in touch with you, the Tree of Life Yoga Studio, and remind them of the event and anything
close. Yeah, I mean, my biggest thing on my heart right now is Sangha Collaborative Foundation. Tree of Life Yoga Studio is, of course, my business as well. But at Tree of Life, we do give back to Sangha. We give back to a number of other charities, and we always will support Brian and his work and so many others. But I think the big thing right now is if you can support us by purchasing the Dream Achiever book, and helping us reach that goal of 150, we said it out loud. So now we got to do it, right?
Yeah.
150 books, we can bring that much money to Africa and help three more women. We've already raised enough for two. So helping three more, and anything you might want to donate towards that by purchasing the book is really helpful for us right now.
To that end, I want to extrapolate, because it's not just about helping three women. These are three single mothers with families in communities. It's impossible to quantify the depth and breadth of the impact that helping these women create a sustainable, life-changing business will do, not just for her legacy or the legacy of her children, but on the community as a whole. It's not just about getting this business opportunity into the hands of three women. It's about the massive ripple effects of what that can do.
Right. And I think, you know, I shared with you the impact my parents made on my life. Mm-hmm. Look at the impact these women can make on their children's lives, right? And what can happen when that world becomes so powerful as those children raise, you know, are in this community and are lifted up by this community and can benefit from this community. What could they then go on and do, right? They might be leaders and continue to contribute in that way as well. So I think when you start looking at those ripples, the children, but also that community is well said.
Yeah, you're empowering hope. You're teaching self-reliance. You're, as a demonstration and an example, these women are teaching their daughters of what's possible and to build their self-esteem. Not to have to rely on a certain relationship structure or belief that they can or can't achieve or whatever. My parents taught me entrepreneurship. When I was 11, I asked for an allowance. All of my friends are getting an allowance. They mow the lawn, they get $20. They take out the trash, they get $5. My parents are like, we're not paying you to be a part of the family. If you want to go make $20, if you want $20, go earn it. They taught me that I could go to my neighbors to mow their lawns for $20, but they're not going to pay me to be a member of the family. So teaching me that entrepreneurship was the reason I was able to retire at 38 and dedicate my life to running a world empowered. Teaching these women in Africa how to run a business will teach their children how to be entrepreneurs and expand their belief of what's possible for their future. And that's not quantifiable. You can't put a dollar amount on that, and helping us to that 150 mark could have immeasurable, incalculable benefits worldwide.
It's really exciting.
How do people get in touch with you, Stephanie, and follow Sangha? You don't have to donate to or buy the Dream Achiever. They can donate directly to you if they choose.
Yep.
How do they follow you there?
Sangha Collaborative Foundation, S-A-N-G-H-A, collaborativefoundation.com is our website. So you can go directly there, and there's several ways to participate in donating, purchasing the book, and then other ways as well. Coming to our event would be fantastic.
Please,
we would
come.
Love to have your support coming to our event.
May 30th.
And then connect at sanghacollaborativefoundation.com is my email address.
And the event is going to be where?
At Olive and Herb on May 23rd.
That's out by Sentara off I-25 and Highway 34, correct?
Yes.
So. Yep. Your email address, did you share?
connect@sanghacollaborativefoundation.com.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I appreciate you. Thank you for tuning in. I hope that you got some valuable insights. Give yoga a try, support Sangha, and go get yourself or somebody that you love the Dream Achiever. It's a powerful message that can really change somebody's life. Have a wonderful weekend. We love you. Talk to you soon. Thank you so much for listening to today's interview. I hope there's something in there that inspired you. I hope you're feeling empowered and awed, and something spoke to your soul and resonated with your heart. If you're interested in contacting today's guest, please check the show notes, follow him on Facebook, or send him an email. As always, please subscribe, rate, and review, and share this podcast with anybody that you know that might benefit from its message. This has been BC from A World Empowered, wishing you the very best. I love you all. Thank you. Have a wonderful day.